morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone. Folks, Steve Williamson here. Mike Costantino is dealing with leaks in his house and is not with us today. But Gary LeMaster has come down from Minnesota, all the way to Minnesota to fill in.
Minnesota,
yeah.
Don't you know?
Yeah, and so you people remember Silent Gary because he never says anything.
And I had hoped to resume that role today.
But I've asked you to help out. Last week, I think we did impeachment and all the terrible things going on. And next week, we have three very prominent local attorneys coming in, and we'll be discussing impeachment. But we like to take time off from political shows and do shows about what's happening in the Verde Valley, what's happening in Old Town Cottonwood, the wine industry, what's happening with business situations, you know. And today we're talking to two arts people from Sedona, and I'm going to introduce them in a minute, but Sedona has a very active art scene. So let's start with you, Mike. Mike Up, he's the, what do you call yourself? You're the chairman?
Ultimate leader.
I get this picture of this guy in this Mao tunic, you know, but...
No, I'm actually the president of Sedona Visual Artists Coalition and also on the board of the Sedona Arts Festival.
Now, tell us, when was the Sedona Visual Artists Coalition founded?
1996. Yeah.
And I have the flyers, and people can find the flyers in all kinds of different stores and stuff in Sedona, right?
Correct. They're at the Sedona Arts Center. They're at the Visitor Center in Uptown. Almost all the hotels have them, restaurants.
And you've got some advertising businesses mm-hmm. to support the thing. There's a map in it, folks. So explain to people what Open Studios is.
Well, I think the big difference between visiting and seeing art in Open Studios and any other way really to see art is that you're actually going inside the private studio of artists around the Verde Valley. Some of the studios will have two or three artists, so there's a host artist whose studio, you know, it belongs to, and then she'll invite or he'll invite other artists to participate at their studios.
I've always done it in my studio. I gotta come clean here that I show work in Open Studios, and this time I invited a guy who I do a lot of shows with, Rob Williams. Rob does really interesting ceramic work. He's very much inspired by Native American tradition. His mother is Caddo Indian. They're from Oklahoma, but he's inspired a lot by the traditions out here. His work's very interesting. So he's sharing the studio with me, and I hope on Saturday I can get him to cook up some gumbo or something, you know. So Visual Arts Association has been going for a long time. How many artists participate?
Well, there's about 140 artists in Sedona Visual Artists, and about 47 actually artists are in this fall's Open Studio program.
Now, how does it work? You go around to the studios, the artists are just waiting for you to show up, or they've got their shotguns out. I mean, this is Arizona. I don't know.
Right. Well, no, and I think the thing that is intriguing is every year the crowd gets bigger. And people are very intrigued about going and seeing where the work is physically produced.
Yeah.
Demonstrations typically happen at most of the studios. There's a lot of work in progress, which normally, you know, the public doesn't get to see. And most artists are, believe that a part of this whole event is education and talking to the people who come to their studios about what really goes into, example, making a mug.
Yeah.
It's more than just throwing it on the wheel. There's a whole bunch of other steps, and most people don't know what those steps are. So it really does give the visitor a chance to get immersed at a much deeper level about art than any other format.
I know if you come to my studio, I'll show you these art machinery and equipment is much simpler than the modern technology, the computer boards and stuff. And I noticed this when I was in Europe, when we looked at 17th, 18th century technology, you can see how clever it was, how all these little gadgets worked together. And we went to weird tours of like how they make mustard. I mean, the most incredible, weird Rube Goldberg machines making mustard. And so it's easy to see, you know, how things are done. And I know I show people how I work with metals and plastics and everything else. It's an interesting process, and it gives you a sense of what it's like to be an artist, because you're actually where the artists are doing the work. And so it's a good program. Oh, we have somebody else here. Kelly, give me your last.
Clemenko.
And you don't look like Vince Fazio.
I don't.
Yeah, but who the hell are you?
I'm the marketing director at Sedona Arts Center. Uh-huh. I've been there for about 9 years now.
And talk to us a little bit about the Sedona Arts Center, because I guess the Sedona Visual Artists Association is sort of specializes in open studios, and you have one show a year.
Correct.
One mm-hmm. just walk-in gallery mm-hmm. show a year, and usually in January or February.
In February, and it's actually at the Sedona Arts Center.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And tell us about the Sedona Arts Center, because it's been there forever. And as another confession of involvement, I do ceramics at the Sedona Arts Center. Have great facilities. I think if you want to learn ceramics, it's lots of fun. I do hand building. I don't do traditional pottery like Mike does. Mike's a well-known local potter. So, gosh, how many people? I mean, you have wall-to-wall workshops and classes.
We do.
Performances.
We do, yeah. We've been to the Art Center has been around for 61 years now, we have a fine art gallery. We represent over 100 local artists, local and regional, and their work is fabulous, and it's always being rotated out in the galleries. And we have workshops and classes going on all year long.
So what if I wanted to learn oil painting? Is this a place to go?
Absolutely. Yeah, we have plenty of workshops, and you can find them at sedonaartcenter.org.
SedonaArtsCenter.org, and it'll tell you all about the classes.
Absolutely.
And they're ongoing classes as well as special workshops, right?
Yeah, we have workshops. We have artists that come in from all over the country, and they teach their workshops. They can be anywhere from 2 to 5 day workshops, as well as ongoing classes that we have that are 6 weeks courses, et cetera, that you can have for locals.
So what's happening this time of year? Because, you know, Sedona gets cluttered with these artists all over the place out painting things.
Right, absolutely. Right now we have the Sedona Plein Air Festival. It's our 15th annual Sedona Plein Air Festival. And we have 24 artists that have come from all over the country, and they are painting and painting out in the landscape.
If you walk up and try to talk to one of them, will they throw rocks at you? Or
not usually. I think they're pretty good about not attacking, you know, patrons. No, they will definitely talk to you. They'll talk to you about their process and what they're doing, as well as they're all creating new work right now that'll be hanging in the galleries.
If they're like my friends, they might try and sell you a painting.
Oh, they will definitely try to sell you a painting, because that's the point.
So you've got 24 of them, and they're out painting all over Sedona, right?
They are.
This is when you, folks, this is when you see, if you drive through Sedona, you see a clutter of artists everywhere painting landscapes. And right. People ask me, and I get this question a lot, and why is it called plein air? What is the term?
Well, it's a French term. It's en plein air. It's out in the open air. So basically when the French created a box easel for the first time, they were able to take their paints out into the landscape. So they would take all of their paints and their equipment into a small, compact easel, and a box easel, that they would paint outside. So that's what en plein air means.
And so a lot of the most famous French painting is done this way, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The famous impressionist artists, a lot are out in the field.
Right.
And that differs from people who have a photograph of a scene and then paint from a photograph or a digital.
Right. There are some artists that will touch up in the studios, and they'll work from photographs, or I know some artists that are extremely dedicated. Will they go outside to paint a particular area within a time frame, within a 2-hour time frame, because the sun changes and everything, all that light changes. So, and they'll go out religiously, day after day after day, just to try to get that that painting finished.
That magic time in the early morning late evening.
But we have the artists that are painting this week. There's some opportunities for people to see them in action at some quick paints that we have at LaBerge, at Mariposa, and then the Main Street paint out.
So what time would people go for these things?
Well, this Wednesday, at Creekside at LaBerge, there will be artists painting out all along the creek. You meet at the Arts Center, and the Sedona Magic Trolley will take you over to LaBerge. And from 9 a.m. to noon is when you can see them over at LaBerge. And then at Mariposa, they'll be painting in the afternoon from 3:30 to 5. It's a special event out there at Mariposa. And then the Main Street paint out is 9 a.m. to noon on Saturday.
What's the paint out?
The paint outs are where people, all the artists that we have in the festival, will be painting out at a particular location, and then they'll be selling their paintings afterwards within the 2-hour time frame, and then there's awards that are given out this year.
So all year, Sedona is a beautiful place that attracts artists to come here and paint, right?
Oh, absolutely.
But this is a particularly intense time, and I know that the first time I saw all these people, I was thinking, why are these guys out painting suddenly? Why do I see so many of them? And it's your plein air festival.
It is, yeah.
I don't have too many questions about that, but suppose that somebody wants to learn, in the studio where I work, there's a lot of people who are art majors. Mm-hmm. And you graduate as an art major and voila, you end up in advertising or designing websites
or you're broke.
and a lot of people, as they get older, they want to return to their original art expression and try out a lot of different medias. And you've got a complex pattern of different kinds of things people can take, right? Different courses, I should say.
Oh, absolutely. We have a lot of artists that just further their careers or even just for their own creative development that come in and take classes with other instructors.
I know a couple of guys that have been in the part of the plein air festival in Sedona that were commercial artists in Minnesota that did wonderful work as commercial artists, and it just got to the point where they wanted to go back to the roots and started focusing on the true art again.
So. Right. Yeah.
So Mike, the thing about open studios, you have a regular exhibition a year at the Sedona Arts Center where Kelly works. Open studios, it only lasts one weekend, right?
Correct. It happens twice a year, last weekend in October, which is obviously the one coming up, and then the last weekend in April.
So that's the 25th through the 27th.
Correct.
And it's from 10 a.m. You can drop by the studios from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. or 6 p.m.?
10 to 5 on Friday and Saturday, and I think it's 12 to 4 or 12 to 5 on Sunday.
Good. So you can during this time, you can just drop by. There are signs all around Sedona. Explain what the sign first in the folder that we're holding up and waving around in front of people's faces is has a map of how you get around to the different studios.
Correct. And I think most people, including myself, because we tend to like to go visit other open studios in Phoenix, Prescott, California. It's actually a phenomenon that's happening all over the country. There's open studio programs that have been going on for 30 years in some cities. But typically people will get the brochure. They'll look at the pictures. There's a picture of every artist that's in it, their work. So you can kind of look at that. And some people are pottery collectors. Some people collect photography or painting, whatever the art forms that they like. They'll look at the brochure and our website, and they'll make a decision on which studios they want to go to. Then they'll use the map on the brochure or on our website and map out, here are the 10 studios I want to try to visit this weekend or however many.
There are also people who drop by open studios thinking that your house is for sale. And I had one one last year, and he bought some artwork. So I was really pleased. He came up from Phoenix, and his wife had asked him to sort of scout Sedona because he had gotten a job up here. And he came in. And he said he thought the house was for sale, but it's not. But there are signs all over, Vince, right? That direct people to how you get to the different studios.
Correct. For the most part, it's really well marked. It's really easy to figure out. If you've selected you want to go visit Stephen and Rob at your studio, and it's studio number 4, I think. I can't remember.
I got to put in a Gary, find out where we are, and we'll. I will say, in our neighborhood, the Kachina neighborhood near the library, there must be about 6 or 7 of us in
correct.
The same neighborhood.
There are a lot,
if you're not interested in ceramics, there's a wonderful fiber artist, and there are people who work with basketry, people who do digital photographs. So I think one of the things, Mike, is you can focus on doing pottery, going around to potters, or you can focus and just go around and see what all the people are doing, different kinds of things. What do you find, Gary?
Steve's studio is 9 on the map.
Oh my gosh!
Number nine.
So you can stop by and learn a little bit about art and probably a little bit about politics on the same time.
And an old Beatles song.
I think we're gonna have wine and beer, Rob and I. And I hope I can get Rob to make up some gumbo on Saturday. So if you drop by, we'll give you a little cup of Rob's gumbo. He lived in New Orleans for a lot of years and picked up his cooking skills there. What else do they see? What is the experience like? I mean, some people are kind of nervous about going into somebody's studio because this is actually where the person works. Of course, people, if you're in open studios, you obviously don't mind people coming into your studio. You actually like the idea. But some people are a little shy about going around. Can I really go in and say hello? Do I have to buy something?
I don't really get that sense that people are nervous about coming. Most of them are very curious, very interested. What is this all about? Especially the new people we get probably at our studio. We've been doing this since 2013 was the first time my wife and I participated.
You let your wife show with you?
Yes.
That's good.
She's the artist. I'm just the craftsman is the way I describe it. She's much more creative than I am. But anyway, some people, I would say we get 40% repeat people who come back every year consistently. And that you just keep growing that over time. So it's people who do open studios, for the first or second time are not going to get the same number of people to come visit them as somebody who's been doing it for, 7 or 8 years, as an example.
So when I do it, what I see, Mike, is both people who are coming around just looking at art. They're not necessarily in the mode of buying it. They're coming around to look at art, just like you go to an art exhibits anywhere, mm-hmm. where you don't necessarily going to buy anything. And then we also see people who are coming around and definitely looking for certain kinds of things.
Correct. And I think the one in October, you get a fair amount of people who are buying for Christmas. Different than in the spring, but there's definitely a lot of people who I put in the category of collectors, and those are kind of the people who come back fairly consistently.
And I noticed at the Art Center, we just hear such a great response when people can connect with the artists, when they can connect with the art that they actually love. We did a process of art exhibit many years ago at the Art Center, and everyone loved it because each artist wrote a short description on what their process was for that one particular piece that they were selling. So those connections with the artist to understand not just their process, but the emotions and everything else that they put into it, and that personal connection that you have talking with the artist really makes that piece of art just a little bit more valuable to those people, even if they're not purchasing, just, mm-hmm. The inspiration that they get from it. The same with the Sedona Plein Air Festival. following around the artists and seeing them, you know, everyone is inspired to paint, even me. I just want to pick up my brushes again. Yeah.
The danger of it is you watch somebody do it and it looks so easy, you think you can go home and do it yourself immediately.
Right, and instead you end up...
And you suddenly realize how difficult and how much talent they actually have.
Yeah, so you go back and you buy a painting instead, and that's what happens.
You find out you can't paint quite that well, you know?
Yeah.
As this guy who's standing looking at some rock formation.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, like our studio, we do a lot of dinnerware. Mm-hmm. And for two reasons. One, I really like doing it. And two, most potters hate it. And I can tell you a number of times the people who've come and bought it are people who came every year for 3 years thinking about it. And then they finally said, okay, we're ready. And you know, they buy handmade.
So they can buy a whole set of dinnerware?
Exactly.
Place settings,
all hand-thrown.
What if I break a plate, Mike?
Well, what I do is actually I take a picture of your dinnerware set, the dinner plate, let's say, so I know exactly how big it was.
Because I would break a plate.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I can come pretty close to reproducing what you purchased.
Well, I think that's good, particularly for klutzes like me. You know, I always wonder how long the dish is going to last. You know, it usually lasts a few years, but still, if it's all hand thrown and all handmade and all completely individualistic, you'd like to get something that sort of matches it. So you can do that for folks if they need it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Something really special about buying a painting or some pottery or something from the artist that you know and you've learned to appreciate. Being in the advertising business, I've worked with a lot of great artists over the years and writers, and I always try to buy their books and try to buy their art, and it's always far more meaningful to me than if I just find something at a studio that I admire, but it doesn't have the personal connections.
Let me ask you this, Mike. Where do the people come from who go to open studios? Are they from Sedona or where?
Usually, it's 50-50. 50% locals. And when I say locals, I'm saying the Verde Valley.
That's a good point we should make, that it's called the Sedona Visual Artists Association Open Studios, but the studios being opened are all over the Verde Valley.
Correct. Right? Cornville, Cottonwood, Clarkdale.
And
the village of Oak Creek. Yeah. And that's grown because, you know, 5-6 years ago it used to be just a Sedona event, and now it's, you know, Verde Valley wide.
And that's why, you know, it's kind of the trace origin, is it has a name of Sedona, because Sedona is known for its art, and that's probably helps the guys down in Clarkdale and stuff.
Yeah,
who do excellent work. If you get the folder, folks, there's some people doing really interesting stuff down in Clarkdale and Cottonwood.
Absolutely. Well, and it is funny because the people in Clarkdale would like to change it to the Verde Valley Open Studios Tour, and I keep maintaining, no, we have to use Sedona. It's got the cash. You'd be crazy to, you know, not use it, because 50% of our audience is from Phoenix or out of state. Some of the out of state people, because we keep it on the same weekends every year, put it in their calendar, and they come from Pennsylvania and Chicago, and so that's really important.
People have told me people dropping by the studio, they said, we come every year, this time of year. So you can come to Sedona, and, you know, just it's a beautiful time of year in Sedona. The weather is absolutely perfect. The rivers are looking beautiful. The trees are looking great. If you go further up, you can go up to Flagstaff.
The skies are cloudless.
Yeah, I
can't get over that.
And it's a great time to come to Sedona, and you can also go to the open studios. You can also go to SAC, right, and see you've got a permanent exhibit up right by the highway, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the big sign that says art, right at the end of Uptown.
Spelled A-R-T, is it?
A-R-T. right at Art Barn Road. Uh-huh. We have that fine art gallery, again, representing over 100 artists.
Why is it called Art Barn?
Well, because when we were founded by Nassan Gobrand, he took the Jordan Apple Packing Barn and converted it to an art center. And that was 1958. And so our historic Art Barn is there, and we have Art Barn Road down there as well.
But nobody packs apples there.
Nobody packs apples.
That's where the ceramic studio is, right?
Well, that's where the ceramic studio is, and then our administrative offices and our theater and special exhibition galleries.
Yeah, they have a ceramic studio down in the basement, Mike. You know how it is.
Do you have any suggestions for people visiting and how to deal with the traffic and get there more easily?
Well, we have a giant parking lot.
We fit
about 100 cars, so it's free parking down there. Come visit us at the
Art weekends, Center. Parking can be a premium, and it might take you a few more minutes to get through.
It might be a little bit more time to make that left out of there, but you can push your way through. It's good.
Yeah, I have, at the worst, this is not so bad now this time of year, Gary, but at its worst, and when I work at the studio, getting out of the studio and on to 89A, luckily I lived in New York, so I pull out across a north coming lane of traffic, and then I'll just wait until somebody lets me in out of desperation because the cars are coming the other way. Uh-huh. It's a lot of fun. Occasionally I get some really polite person trying to pull out in front of me. This is a nightmare because the polite person at the worst times of year in the spring is it's hard to get out of the studio.
Right, but we'll have a roundabout soon, so we'll be making a right out of the Art Center.
Yeah, and the first one works really well. People think that Uptown Sedona is all torn up. It's not. You can get around just fine. Your giant parking lot's still there, and the first roundabout is in. That's helped some. You're going to be having a second one up closer to this Art Center?
Past the Art Center. Yeah, up the canyon just a tiny little bit.
Uh-huh.
So I think we'll have a median over there, too, so we'll have to make a right out and then go all the way up and around.
Yeah, so. I don't mind doing that because the flow of traffic is good.
It'll be much easier.
I know that the summer show, the artists were concerned because we didn't get as much traffic as they thought we should. I don't have enough experience to know myself. And I think it's because people thought that Uptown was all torn up and the traffic was really bad up there. But it's not. Once you get there, it's just...
It's really not that bad. Yeah.
So, Mike, let me ask you a couple more questions. How did you pick October? And the other question I had was kind of irrelevant, but I want to ask it. How do you know that the people are coming from Phoenix or from California? We have a lot of people coming from California, for example.
Well, I'll answer the second one first. So I spent a lot of years in corporate marketing, mostly in high tech. And one of the things as a marketing person you want to know is, where's your audience coming from? What's my return on investment for putting an ad in the Phoenix or the Arizona Republic as opposed to the East Valley Tribune as an example? So we've tried over the years a number of different techniques on how to gather that data, because that data to a marketing person is gold. And what we struck on that actually really works is we do two free $250 gift certificate raffles. No need to buy a ticket. You just have to sign up, agree to be on our email mailing list, and tell us how you heard about the event and where you're from. Don't have to buy anything. And we just started that in the spring. And also it says right on the raffle card, it must be printed legibly to
email
be valid.
Address is a nightmare for every organization in the world, is people writing their email addresses so that it's illegible. So how does the raffle work? I mean, it gives you a gift certificate you can use anywhere?
You can use it any studio, or actually not any studio, any artist that was on the tour.
Okay.
So you have a guest in your studio. If they wanted Rob's, they could cash the certificate in with him. And I think it's good. The certificate's good for 6 months. Okay. We've never had any problem with people using them.
No, I guess not.
And one interesting note on it is that, so last spring, first time we did it, normally we put about 800 or 900 new email addresses in our database after every tour, of which 30% get bounced. because we couldn't read them correctly. This time we got 1,400 email addresses and 1% bounced. They were printed in their best third grade printing, you know. You could read all of them. And they answered the questions, so we got a much better data on what, from an advertising standpoint, was really working for us.
I know that they say about businesses that almost no small businesses might know whether their advertising is working or not. None of them can do the expensive stuff that a large corporation, like if Gary's hired to do ads in the old days, right? There's all kinds of, for expensive things, they can do all kinds of polling and checking and so forth and so on. You can't do that with small businesses. You can't afford it. So some of it's guesstimate, right?
Correct. I mean, I always say that marketing is a black art, and you're basically throwing mud against the wall and then trying to figure out what sticks, and what sticks is what you do the next time. But I agree with you from the statistical standpoint. It's huge. It's like 85% of all businesses under $10 million don't have a clue as to whether their marketing's working or not. But it doesn't have to be that way. You know, I worked for a lot of startups in my career. A couple of them, I was like employee number 10 or 15 with companies that grew to 300 or 400 people. And so I've always had that bent of wanting to know, if I spend this money, what am I getting for it?
And that's true of all artists. You do have to sort of promote it. Otherwise, people don't even know it. If you don't promote the Plein Air Festival, people are not going to know it exists, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And also for the Sedona Arts Center, if people don't know the courses are available and the galleries available, then it doesn't do any good. And I know that people don't like to think about art and this practical aspect of getting the word out that you've got some art, but it's part of the game. And also, if you don't sell your stuff, your studio just piles up. You know, you gotta move stuff out of it.
That's right.
So, what does SAC do? You've got beautiful folders. You got your website, and Mike, we'll ask you for the website for your organization.
Well, we do the usual rec cards, and you know, monthly we switch those out everywhere. But we twice annually we put out a catalog of classes and courses that goes out to 13,000 people nationally, and we also have those in-house. This year coming up in January, we have another larger book. So last year we did a 60th anniversary magazine. It was a larger 60-page magazine. And we put that out for everybody to get a little bit more history, a little bit more insider view about the Art Center. And we're doing that again this year with our new magazine in January.
What about when you have the Plein Air Festival and people come and the artists are painting and you can talk to them, and it's just an interesting process to watch, look at the actual landscape they're painting. I mean, it's sort of fascinating. Even if you don't like art, it's fascinating. Do people come from all over the country to go to your workshops and to look at the art, or
absolutely.
Do people come from all over to see the Plein Air Festival and talk to the artists?
They do. We have people that call well in advance, early in the year, asking when our next festival is, making sure they know the dates, because they'll plan their entire vacation around it, so that they come to all the paint outs, to come to all the different events that we have, the awards night, etc.
And when is the Plein Air Festival? Let's tell folks it's ongoing now.
It's ongoing. Started this past Saturday, the 12th, and it's running through the 19th, this Saturday coming up. Our main events that we have coming up, we have artist demonstrations at the Art Center, 10 a.m. today and tomorrow. And then on Wednesday morning, we have the Creekside Paint Out at LaBerge. Wednesday evening, a keynote with Dave Santillanes. He's our keynote speaker this year, an amazing artist.
Well, that's something I want to point out. These people are some of the top artists in the country.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, they're absolutely fantastic. At least the ones I've known have participated have been unbelievable.
Yeah, and what we have new this year is we had two angels that donated a little bit extra money to us, and we have $10,000 in cash prizes. So Wednesday, again, paint outs and keynote. Thursday, Mariposa paint out. And then Friday evening is our awards night. And that's when one of those artists is going to walk away with a $5,000 best in show.
Wow. What happened to the other $5,000?
oh, it's been it's going to be distributed throughout all the other paintouts. Each paintout has,
I'm just kidding, you know,
awards.
In your pocket.
I'm just making sure.
Mike and I, and Gary, y'all come from business. You spend a lot of time in business. So I see 10,000. I think 5,000 is getting out. Why don't I do the other 5? That's great.
I want to point out on the Open Studios too. I've got the map open here, and if you want to see Mike Upp's work, it's number 34. He hasn't mentioned that yet. So
he didn't make it number one, did he?
No, he was it's right there, kind of in the middle. But just looking through the work, I mean, it's such a wide range of work. There's everything from jewelry to glass work to impressionist paintings, to pottery, to some natural wood. I don't know the exact word for it, but there's some really whimsical things. It's just it's a great variety of works. You could learn a lot just going, you know, from one to the next. So.
I think people have fun doing it. You know, I really do. I get the impression everybody's in a good mood and stuff, and it's fun for the artist because you have somebody dropping by, and they're usually, glad to be doing what they're doing. I remember from my Jeep tour days, what was fun about it in a lot of ways was that everybody was sort of happy on the Jeep tour because they were doing something that was fun, right? And it's I know that people who work in places that are not so much fun, like hospitals, you know, have a much more difficult experience and with the environment. But when you go to the artist studio, it's a lot of people sort of having fun, and some of them serve a glass of wine or a cup of coffee, and you can sit around and talk.
Stephen, you're making a valid point, too, because we've talked about the impact on the visitor, but the impact on the artist is what you just touched on, is that you're getting direct validation that people enjoy your work, that they like your, you know, in my case, your glazes or your forms. You can't get that any other way. I mean, if I go drop off a big order at the gallery at SAC, I never hear back except from the director, right? You don't hear back from all the individuals who, feel good about the work that they're seeing.
When your work sells in a gallery situation, you don't know who bought it. You don't know why they bought it. You don't know what they thought about it. All you know is that it sold.
Right.
That's an interesting point that I had not really thought about, Mike, because now you know why somebody likes it or doesn't like it, I suppose. But otherwise, you're just selling it out in the world. And I guess as an artist, that feels both good and a little bit ambiguous. You kind of would like to know. We'd secretly like to know who bought it and why they bought this piece rather than that piece. You know,
right.
That kind of thing.
Right.
And we do try to connect our artists with some of the clients because they'll ask about that, as well as a lot of our instructors are also in the gallery as well, being represented.
So, and as I said, it actually goes both ways. You know, the buyers really want to know. So they often do anyway, not everybody.
So you mentioned something where you watch the artist actually producing stuff. What is that experience like? What are you calling that again?
The plein air painting?
No, the
process of art.
Process of art, yeah.
Yeah, just their process, all the different steps that they take and just creating those paintings. That's what the demonstrations are for as well, like the 10 a.m. demonstration today and tomorrow. You can see their particular process and how they create
for constructing their landscapes. And I think most people know that, you know, there's a lot of drawing involved sometimes not, and people have very different processes before ending up with good results,
right?
So how many plein air painters do you have?
We have 24, and we have hundreds of paintings already hanging in the gallery. So the painters came from their different locations all across the country, Washington and Maryland and Colorado and California, in Arizona as well, lots of different areas. And they took 6 pieces of their studio work so that we have a good representation of what they paint in their own local regions. And now they've been painting since Saturday, and they're putting new paintings up. So you'll see Wet's paint stickers on the walls, and those will show you which ones they just put in. Yeah, you don't want to poke them, but you want to buy them, and we'll box them up for you anyway. Then they'll be all on display all week long, and they're constantly changing all those paintings out.
So it's not just paintings of Sedona. You'll see landscapes and from all over the country.
Oh, and some of the, yeah. Well, we have those, some of the studio pieces, but then most of the other pieces they're painting in the area. And yeah. Some people go up to Jerome and they paint the Gold King Mine. Some of the painters paint other people as well. So you'll see painters painting painters, which look absolutely fabulous. So.
Two of the people I know have participated in the past. I don't know about this year, but... They have retired from their commercial work and have motorhomes, and they spend their you know life or their year driving from one place to the next. They kind of chase the weather,
that's right,
and the climate, and so they'll have beautiful paintings from the Northeast or from the Southwest or all over the country, and it's really. It's kind of fun. You can track their travels from their work. You know?
Oh yeah.
One of my professors when I was in college, as a teenager, he worked for a very very famous landscape photographer, Edward Weston, up in Big Sur, and he said that working with Weston was the most horrible job he ever had in his life, because he would in those days his job was to carry all this heavy camera equipment up to the top of some mountain in Big Sur, and then Weston would sit there sometimes for 3, 4, 5 hours, and then Weston would get up and go click, take a photograph, he'd load up the equipment on the professor and head back down the hill. And for a teenager sitting around waiting for Weston to get exactly the right light that he wanted to photograph was like torture. And I think the thing about plein air is the difficulty is that the light's changing all the time. Or is that a good thing?
Well, sometimes it's a good thing. Sometimes it's a bad thing, like depending on when we have like some of our paintouts. Some of the artists would prefer to have it right at sunset, and you know, uh-huh. that golden hour, and just be able to paint through the night. Some people like to paint nocturne paintings as well. So... I think it goes both ways.
High noon is not the preferred time to paint.
Not preferred, but the artists are so creative. They get some amazing paintings out of that anyway.
So, Mike, tell us about give us the address for the website if folks are interested in going to open studios. And
SedonaArtistsCoalition.org.
SedonaArtistsCoalition.org.
It's a mouthful.
You have shows both in spring and in fall.
Mm-hmm.
And why do you pick October? Because it's a ways from Christmas if you're trying to do
Christmas. And down in Phoenix, there's a couple of big open studio tours that happen in November. So uh-huh. you try to pick dates where there's going to be competition for that date no matter what you do. But it's not real smart to compete with the one that's been going on for 30 years down in Scottsdale.
That's 5,000 artists, and, you know. And,
it's huge, yeah, yeah, it really is.
And for those who want the web address, I'll have this up on our blog or on our website in a couple of days, and I'll make sure to post links to those.
So Gary's not on Gary LeMaster's not on air as much as when he lived in Sedona. We have him calling in every once in a while. But Gary does the website, and we should really thank you for doing that. He does the descriptions of the shows and puts in the information like he's talking about. Week after week, 52 weeks a year, Gary.
Keeps me connected. I enjoy it, and I keep learning. So
we're glad to have you back here in Sedona. And Zach, how do people reach you if they're online? If they're online?
Okay, yeah, it's SedonaArtsCenter.org. And you can just find all the links to all the different events that we have, including the 31 Women Artists Show that we're going to have in January.
31 women artists in January.
Yes, we're taking applications right now, up until November 15th. So check it out online.
So women artists, and you can apply online, and you can apply online to do open studios or be in your show.
Correct. You can do both of those. Yeah. You know, one other quick thing I wanted to add, Stephen, is the growing sense of community and partnership in the arts community. And I'll just give you a couple of examples. So both SAC and Sedona Visual Artists partnered with the Sedona Wine Fest, which would happen mm-hmm. a couple of weeks ago. These guys had painters doing paintouts at the Wine Fest. We were there promoting open studios. We're also promoting something at the end of October, on October 26th, which is called Dine in the Vines, which is happening at Yavapai College in the tasting room. Huh. So, and there's a lot more examples of us working together as organizations to help promote the arts in our community.
Like any good event, there are a lot of sponsors that, you know, when you get the map, check out the sponsors. I'd particularly like to point out El Portal, one of our sponsors, is also a sponsor.
Yeah, where we're headed for breakfast after the
exactly.
show.
Best breakfast in Sedona, actually.
Yeah, breakfast in Sedona. Okay, so we hope Mike gets his plumbing fixed. And next week, we're going to have three brilliant attorneys talking about impeachment. We're going back and talking about political issues and the ramifications of all of the processes we can all see going on. And then later in the month, we have somebody from No More Deaths from the Border Group. And we want to thank you for being with us. Mike usually wraps it up, so I hardly know how to do it in terms of timing. We want to thank Dorr for contributions to Democratic Perspective. We really appreciate your other donations, folks.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.
I'm Mickey Jones, Pete Milker from Home Improvement. Make sure you continue to improve your listening experience. Keep your dial set right here at AM 780 KAZM Sedona.